Welcome to the Grace Minutes program. We're glad that you've tuned in. If you're listening on Monday morning, the 4th of January at 11 o'clock, you're listening to our first live broadcast of this new year, 2016. And whenever else you may be listening, we're thankful that you've tuned in. And thankful to WDCD for re-airing the program as well. We're going to recap a couple of the messages that were preached in our pulpit, Greater Grace Community Church, last Sunday. We were blessed with a plethora of visitors. Many were up from the Baltimore area for a wedding. One of the young ladies from our church marrying a wonderful young man as well. And it's so refreshing to see this next generation of believers committed and with their perspective of their being raised in the world as we see it today, having a kingdom viewpoint, but very in touch with the culture that scares a lot of people my age. Doesn't scare me, but then again, I've raised 5 daughters in this present culture. But to see them really serving God with all of their heart and a fresh perspective and the glow of their youth added to by the glow of the Spirit of God, really to see them serving Jesus with the strength of their youth is so encouraging to all of us. And hopefully we're all still continuing to serve the Lord with all of our strength, as diminished as that may be. At least give it all. It may not be what you had at one time, but at least to give it all to the Lord. And one of them was a young preacher, Matt Viator, Pastor Matt Viator, and he shared a short message in our pulpit from 2 Timothy. And so the following thoughts are seed thoughts from Matt's message, and I'm going to summarize it. I didn't write it down word for word. But he called our attention to the second letter of Timothy. That's how we have it in our Bibles, 2 Timothy. He may have written more than two, but we have two in our Bible. And this one was written at near the end of his life. He was, most scholars believe, in the Mamertine prison. This is a site you can actually visit in Rome today. And it's not how it sounds. The Mamertine prison is nothing really but a hole in the ground. And it's a one room. It's got a dome. It's below grade level, at least at this point. It probably always was. And it's built up with stones into a dome. I'm going by memory now because it's been a while since I've been there. But if I remember, the floor of the place is probably about 30 to 40 feet in circumference. And then just a dome ceiling, the stones reaching up to a dome with a hole in the top of the dome where they would drop the food in, or so the tour guide told us, and with a staircase winding around one of the walls to grade level, a very narrow stone staircase to get up and down, and chains were hanging from the wall still, and we couldn't help but wonder if some of those chains actually held the Apostle Paul when he was there. And as he wrote this letter, 2 Timothy, perhaps from the Mamertine prison to Timothy, and Timothy, his son in the faith, and he had a few others that he called a son in the faith. He also called Titus a son in the faith, and Onesimus a son in the faith, and he probably had more than that, but we know Timothy figured, it's almost like Paul adopted him spiritually as his own personal son. And as he writes this letter, and he knows that he's awaiting execution, and under Nero's reign, who was some have called him a monster, and that might be putting it lightly, of a leader and responsible for slaughtering many Christians. Now, the Apostle Paul, he had escaped death several times. You know, even in the very beginning of his ministry, the first 3 years of his ministry in Damascus, he had to escape out a window in a basket over the wall as a fairly new convert. He escaped the harm, maybe the death that he was at risk for early on. And then he was stoned, maybe to death, and then resurrected, or almost to death. Those that stoned him left him for dead. But he wasn't done yet. He just got back up and went right back into the city and preached again. And then he was delivered right there in the temple when they would have ripped him apart. And the Roman guard came and delivered him from the crowd of angry, worshiping Jews that were outraged by Paul even being back there. Although when he was Saul of Tarsus, he was their hero. Now that he was Paul the Apostle, he was a villain. And they wanted to kill him, and they even plotted. 40 men took an oath that they wouldn't eat again until after they had killed Paul. And again, the Roman government delivered him from them. And over again, he was delivered from death, but now the Roman government had decreed his head had to come off. And that was actually a merciful form of execution compared to crucifixion, which was much more gruesome. But because Paul had citizenship in the Roman Empire, they would do him the courtesy of making it short and swift and just remove his head from his body. But before they could do that, he writes this letter to Timothy. And I was actually thinking about the Lord this morning as I was reading in the Gospel of John, and several times they tried to kill the Lord. Twice in the Gospel of John, they were going to stone him to death at the end of chapter 8 and at the end of chapter 10, but the Lord just escaped. And it says in chapter 10 that, he just gave him the slip again. That's my own words. In John 8, he hid himself, and then he walked through them in the midst, whether he disguised himself. But the Lord escaped. He also escaped in Nazareth, in his own hometown, when they wanted to throw him off the cliff, and he just walked through the midst of them. It was not his time. But he did not shrink from the threat of death, but he was delivered. And you and I believe we have the same divine protection. We will not die until and in our case, we might not even die. We may be candidates for the rapture. But if you and I are, scheduled to die, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, the book of Hebrews tells us. So if you have an appointment with death, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, unless the rapture happens soon, we probably do, all of us. I've looked for my expiration date stamped somewhere on me, but I've never found it. No, I'm just teasing. We don't have our expiration stamped in some visible way, but it's on record in heaven. The day we're born, the day we die, if we die, but not before. So understanding this is part of being delivered from the fear of death, to realize I cannot die unless it's God's perfect will for me to die. And if that's the case, why resist it? I'm just going to be with Jesus. So if it's God's will for me to die today, hallelujah. As Christians, we're all better off dead. But in the perfect will of God, if he's willing for us to live today, then to live for his glory is to be delivered from the fear of death. It brings bondage. And Jesus died to destroy death, according to Hebrews chapter 2. He died to destroy death and deliver you and I and all of the children of God from the fear of death that would hold us in bondage. Now, I know many of God's children still have the fear of death. Maybe you're one of them. Pray that God will deliver you from that fear. Jesus wants you delivered from that fear. And you may not know that you're delivered until you actually have to face death and be comfortable with that. Like, okay, maybe I'm going to die now. Oh, I guess not. I've only had a couple of those brushes with death, but two or three maybe, wondering, is this it? Am I going to see Jesus now? Or, oh no, almost a letdown a little bit. Like, oh, I guess I'm not done yet. Time to serve God again today. And let's have that attitude every day of the new year, every day that he gives us. We don't know if we're going to live out all of 2016. We don't know if Jesus is going to come for us this year. None of us know. That's not a bad thing. It causes us to live by faith every day. Every morning we open our eyes, or if you're working nights, every afternoon when you open your eyes, to serve God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And what a privilege this is, until we see Jesus face to face. So Paul knows he's about to be executed. He knows, I'm going to go see Jesus. He said, there's a crown of righteousness stored up for me. And not only me, but all those who love the Lord's appearing. Do you love the idea of Jesus coming for you in the rapture? Or even loving the, now in Paul's case, by this point, he realized he was not a candidate for the rapture. Early on, when he wrote to the Corinthian church, he wrote in such a way that indicated that he was believing that Jesus might come during his earthly lifetime and catch the church away. When he wrote to the Thessalonians, at that point in his life, he was thinking he was a candidate. But by the time he wrote 2 Timothy, he realized, I'm going to die. I'm going to be executed, and that's all right. And he was ready for it. He was ready to be poured out. The Greek word spendo, he said, I'm ready to be poured out. But when he wrote to Timothy, and actually I got away from what Pastor Matt brought out, but he focused on chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul's instructions to Timothy. He said, I'm reading from the New King James where it says, be diligent. If you have the Old King James, it says, study to show yourself approved. The New King James is actually a little more accurate to the Greek text where it says, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. Now, many people are diligent about many things, and diligence is a good quality trait, personality trait, but especially for us as believers to be diligent in our walk with God. To be diligent, to see to it that we are fulfilling the will of God for our life, that we are about our Father's business, to be diligent. And Timothy had been called to be a pastor. He'd been trained to be a pastor. He had the gift of the pastor teacher given to him by the Holy Spirit when the Apostle Paul and other elders laid their hands on him. And so to be diligent, to present himself approved unto God. He was a workman. But to be approved, not disqualified. Paul had wrote to the Corinthians that he did not want to be disqualified, adokimos, that he was striving like an Olympic athlete. He was training himself, keeping his body under subjection in 1 Corinthians 9. Paul had lived this way, and now he's writing to Timothy to live the same way. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. The truth of the matter is, at the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, some of God's children, there's going to be some degree of shame over lost years, lost opportunities, times that we said no to God or did not seek out the will of God. Now, every tear will be wiped away. We're not going to live in shame for it, but there'll be a moment of being our works being judged. And there's going to be moments there that we're going to say, oh, I wished I had really done the will of God. I could have, but I didn't. But everything that we do by faith, according to his nature, there will be a reward for. And for you and I to have an attitude to say, I want the full reward, the full reward. But he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Timothy was called to be a preacher, a teacher, a pastor. And he said, I want you to rightly divide, cut straight the word of truth, the word of God, to not leave anything undone. I'm about out of time for today, so I may have to actually pick this up tomorrow to finish off the thought, because for you and I to really study the word of God and have the whole counsel of God for our own lives, and then as we pass it on to our disciples, give the whole counsel of God, not half, not a quarter, not three quarters, but the whole counsel of God, rightly divided. This is the call of God on our life. This is Pastor David Moore saying, God bless you. Please join me again at this same time.